Matthew 16:18. We've been looking at starting our study on church polity, and again, Thursday nights, or we did this past week because of the PTF, but we're studying again doctrine and what the Bible says about our Baptist doctrine. And then on Sunday nights, we're looking again at church polity, and again, that's why we do what we do around here, and the reason why we do it. And we started out with the importance of studying church polity, and then we went, of course, to the church itself. And because if you don't understand the church in a true biblical understanding of what the church is, and when the church began, and what the church's purpose is, then your polity is going to be all messed up too. So those things are vital. So we started here, and we've been looking this whole month at Matthew 16:18. If you're able to, let's stand, and we're going to read this passage once more. I hope you can say it. But then we're going to flip over to Ephesians 5 and read a verse there in just a second as well. But let's read Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. Again, says this, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Again, we talked last week about the fact that, again, when he used the word church there, the word ecclesia, it meant a called out, and does mean a called out assembly. It was not a foreign word to them when he used that word, but what distinguishes that word here from any other time it was ever used before is that what he's talking about here, the Lord said, is my church. This was his assembly. And that distinguishes it from every other assembly that's ever been out there. And he said, I will build my church. In Ephesians chapter number 5, just one verse there, in verse number 25, and then we'll pray and be seated. Ephesians 5 and verse number 25 says this, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The Lord loved the church. He loves the church. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm thankful that he loved the church and then he gave himself for it. Think about that for a second. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I pray, Father, Lord, you bless the reading and the preaching of your word tonight. I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross. Again, I know the words you've had me to study and to pen and to think on, to meditate. But Lord, I pray now that, Lord, your spirit would be in control, and that God, he would lead and guide in this service. And Lord, I thank you for the message last night. Thank you for the message this morning on grace. Lord, what a tremendous message that was, and I thank you for it. Lord, I pray now you'd help us as we study this, your church. I pray you give us understanding, give us clarity of thought. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So here, Matthew chapter 16, the Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm proud of you, Pastor DeLotel. You didn't complain about our microphone. Everyone that ever preaches here complains about our microphone, and so I appreciate it. I like it. I've gotten used to it. Brother Alexander won't even use it anymore. That's because he can't figure it out. All right, but again, appreciate the message this morning. It's a great message. But we look at here. We've studied again what the church is, the importance of studying the church. We broke down what a church was, and remember those three metaphors given in the Bible for the church: a building, a body, and a bride. We'll come back to those, Lord willing, next Sunday night as we'll continue, and then we're gonna start getting into some of the polity, I guess you will, and why we do what we do. We'll cover a lot of things this year, the positions of leadership the Lord's put into the church, with the servants, the deacons in the church. We'll look at the ordinances, of course. We'll look at just about, try to do our best to cover why we do everything we do around here. And so I encourage you to be here each and every week. But I know we've stayed on this point for a while, but it's because, I'll just reiterate one more time, without a biblical understanding of what a church is and when it began, it changes everything with your polity. You may think, well, it wouldn't affect it. Well, it does. And so it's important. So I ask you to bear with me. Now, I'm not going to preach forever tonight. I know it's been a long weekend. I know we had an event last night. I know we've had a busy day today. And I figure 2 hours tonight will be good enough. I'm kidding on that, all right? But let's jump right into this, all right? And what are we going to focus on tonight? Well, let's start with this. So when did the church begin? When did the church begin? There's a couple different theories. There's some people that believe the church started with Israel. That's not truth, all right? The New Testament church didn't begin until later. But there's some that believe that. Some that believe that it started at with the Lord and his disciples, which we believe. Also, some that believe it started at Pentecost. But we'll look at these different things tonight. And when did the church begin? Well, our church has stood for many, many years, and we continue to stand for the fact that we believe the Lord started with the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples when he started his ministry here on this earth. The Lord called those disciples out. And we understand that's what a church is, and I'll back that up here this evening as well. But why would we think that? Because, number one, because during this time, the gospel was being preached during this time. We're going to use our Bibles a lot because that's what you should do. In Mark chapter number 1, look at this with me real quick tonight. Mark chapter number 1, the gospel was being preached. In Mark chapter number 1, we see here, and again, you say, you've talked a lot about John the Baptist during this study of the church. Well, there's a reason for that, because John the Baptist was a man sent from God to prepare what the Lord would build his church with. He was given special authority from heaven, and we've seen that in our studies. But we start again with John the Baptist tonight in Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And we saw there in the prophets that this was prophesied, and then John the Baptist fulfilled this. Verse number 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John the Baptist was preaching, and his ministry, he preached repentance and faith in the Lord. He preached faith and repentance, which is the gospel. He preached the gospel. He preached, and you say, how were they saved then? They were saved the same way we're saved, by believing in faith and repentance. You say, what were they believing in? That Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And when Jesus did approach him, he pointed to him. He had been speaking of him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The gospel was being preached. You say, what message was preached? Is Jesus with the disciples. They believed the gospel. Jesus preached the truth, how that he would die. He would die for our sins, but the gospel was being preached. Number 2, the apostles were saved and baptized under the ministry of John the Baptist. We believe the church started with the Lord Jesus and those disciples because those apostles were saved and baptized under John the Baptist's ministry. Over in Acts chapter number 1, real quick, Acts chapter number 1 and in verse number 21. Acts chapter 1 and in verse number 21. Again, this is after the disciples, the church gathered together, and they gathered together there, and Judas, of course, had taken his own life, and they were seeking to replace his position. And you see in Acts chapter 1 and in verse number 21, it says this, whereof these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So they chose Judas's replacement as someone who was, as the others were, beginning with the baptism of John. They were baptized under the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, we're not going to take the time tonight to go into every one of these individual men and watch their background, but you can track these men as such as Andrew in John chapter number 1. He was one of the disciples of John, and he was saved under John's ministry. He was discipled in John 1:37 under John's ministry. He was called by the Lord Jesus to follow him in Matthew chapter number 4, being one of John's disciples. All of these men God used as the apostles, but they were saved and baptized under the ministry of John the Baptist. And God used these men to establish his church. We look over real quick in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, And in verse number 28, you'll see something very quickly about this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong. 2 Corinthians, was it 1 Corinthians 12? Sorry about that. 12, verse number 28. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 28. 1 Corinthians 12, and in verse number 28. Apologize. Paul's talking here and talking about the fact there. Let's start reading there. He's talking about the church here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Of course, we just recently preached through 1 Corinthians. We'll start reading there in verse number 22. 3, and those members of the body which you think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which part to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First, what? Apostles. You see, the Lord, when he began the church, first he started with those apostles. These men that were saved, they were baptized under the ministry of John the Baptist. The Bible we studied last few weeks, God sent John the Baptist with special authority to prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist preached the truth. These men were saved, and there were other disciples of John as well. There were many others that were saved and baptized under the ministry of John the Baptist. But it was these 12 that God chose to begin his church with, and he called them out and began, as here Corinthians shows us, first with the apostles, then the prophets, and then the teachers. Those prophets who were men that God, the Holy Spirit, just spake through, as you read through the book of Acts and read there for the early epistles. But then we had the completed the word of God, when that which is perfect has come. And now, quite frankly, I am not a prophet. God's not going to give me anything special. He completed that in Revelation. And if any man ever gets up and says he's adding to the word of God, he's a liar. All right? My job now, and every pastor's job, is to get up and teach the word of God. We teach the word of God. We preach the word of God. And then that's what God has chosen. And we have, again, Ephesians says, pastors and evangelists for this reason, for the edification, for the perfecting of the church. But we have here that God pulled it together. This is his body. He started with the apostles. And I just want to pause, and this has nothing to do with the message, but again, I just want to be, because I'm your pastor, and we'll give an account one day together, right? And I will give an account for our church and for you. But it says there in that verse, in verse number 25, that there be no schism in the body. And I just want to encourage the church to pray. The Lord has blessed our church as long as I've been the pastor here, and I thank God for it. But I know the devil hates it, for a good unity in our church. Because God, the reason he uses the body as a picture there is because, again, it's a foolish idea for there to be divisions in the body. If there is, we're going to the hospital, all right? And I was talking to one of the cashiers down here at Kroger's, and he was talking to me. I guess last summer he got his finger caught in a lawnmower. Ooh. All right, he said, "Look at this," and he showed me his finger, and the whole top of it was gone. He gave me the whole story. I was there like 30 minutes, and he was telling me all about it. And it's in a pretty interesting story, actually, if you're into that. He was telling me all about it and where he found his finger and how they put it back on. It was pretty cool. All right, but in any case, all right, you know, that's not normal. All right. That's not normal for your finger to be over there and your hand to be over here, right? We would say that's a problem, all right? My grandpa lost out of his 10 digits on his hands, all right? He lost 6 of them, all right? You can see him today, 2 of them, his brother cut off, all right? Because his brother said, "If you touch my gun again, I'm going to cut your hand," and he did. But that's what happens when you grow up in the early 1900s in the hills of Kentucky, all right? And he did, all right? Then he worked at a foundry, and a big old thing came down and took the other ones off. And that's not normal, all right? That is not a normal thing, all right? But the fact is this, God used the body because this, when there's divisions within his church, it's not right. We have a problem. We have an emergency. The devil's been hitting our church. In the last 5-6 weeks, there's been at least 7 instances brought to my attention. And all of them, by God's grace, have been handled and, you know, praise the Lord. And everyone loves each other and praise the Lord. But let's not be naive. The devil hates the unity of our church. Don't let him have the victory. Don't let him have the victory. Go to that person. Make sure you get it right with that person. Make sure pride don't stand in the way. But don't let the devil get in. Don't let him bring a schism within the church. Because the devil hates the unity of the Lord's churches. And so guard that, please. But you have here the apostles. You started with the apostles. Number three, you see the gospel is being preached. The apostles were saved and baptized under John's ministry. Why do we believe the church started with the Lord and his disciples? Number three, because Jesus' church, he said, my church, it was organized. It was organized. So how was it organized? Let's use our Bibles a lot real quick. Turn over to Matthew chapter number 23. Matthew chapter number 23. And in verse number 8 tonight. Matthew 23, verse number 8. For time's sake, Brother Jordan, would you care to be in John 10 and read a verse for me real quick? Appreciate it. And then we'll read a couple other verses. Brother Coy, would you be in Acts chapter 1 in a second? All right. But here in Matthew chapter 23 and in verse number 8, it says this. The Lord's talking. He's handling a lot of issues in this chapter. But he says in verse number 8, but be not ye, he's talking to his disciples here, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. Now he's speaking to his disciples. And he says, you know, don't go around saying, hey, I'm the man, right? I'm the head. Right? The Lord says, there's only one master, and that's Christ. I say the church was organized because, number one, it had a head. And the head was not Peter. Oh, yeah. Oh, God will set some pastors after he ascends. But the Lord, he was the master. He was the head. And again, we see the Lord's churches, there's he still to this day. Christ is the head of the church. In John chapter number 10, Brother Jordan, just read real loud for us, verse 11 and verse number 14. 11 and 14. The Lord refers to himself as the shepherd, the good shepherd. The church, Jesus' church, had a head. It was the Lord. It had a pastor. It was Jesus. Jesus was the head. He was the pastor of that church. He was the shepherd of that flock. Another verse isn't got time tonight to look at them all, but as the pastors of churches today, they're under shepherds. Right? They are to feed the flock, which God has made them an overseer of. But understand that Christ is the head of the church. But that church, Christ was the shepherd, amen. Thirdly, we all look back, just back a few pages, if you're with me still, Matthew chapter number 18. In Matthew chapter number 18, and in verse number 15, Matthew 18 and verse number 15, says this, just a few pages back, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, Matthew 18:15, go and tell his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear them, thou hast gained thy brother, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto what? The church. Obviously, there's something already here, right? Amen. All right. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Peter said unto him, what is a church, Lord? And please explain this to us. No, that's not the next verse, right? They understood. They understood. Right? They understood what the Lord is speaking to. But you see here that the church, the Lord's church, it had a head. It was Jesus. It had a pastor. It was Jesus. And this church was organized. Thirdly, it had discipline. The Lord gave instructions for how to handle these different issues. And they did not question. They understood. When he said, tell it to the church, they didn't ask for a definition of that. They understood what he was speaking of. In Acts chapter number 1, Brother Coy, if you read just a few verses, start at verse 15 and I'll tell you when to stop. All right, go. Thank you. That's good. All right, so what's going on? Peter, again, he calls the church together. And they need to ordain someone to fulfill the position. They had a meeting. They had a business meeting. There was some business in the church that needed to be handled. And he called the church together and said, let's handle this. So you have here an organized church. It had a head, it had a pastor, it had discipline. It was conducting business at a church. And in John chapter 13, you don't have to turn there because you already know this answer as soon as I say the point. It had a treasurer too. Things didn't work out too well with that treasurer. But all right, but it had one, all right? But the point is this, they were organized. They weren't just, you know, people roaming around doing whatever they wanted to. It was organized as the Lord's churches are to be organized. So you see, it was organized. Number four, it was evangelizing. Everyone, please turn to Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 18. It was evangelizing. And we read Matthew chapter 28, and again, you say, I just don't see the big importance of deciding on when the church began. Well, it does matter, because if anything, what I'm going to read right now is of great importance of your definition when the church began. In Matthew chapter number 28, look there in verse number 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now this is known to us as the great what? This is the Great Commission. So who was the Great Commission given to? That's important. You see, if you believe that the church started at a different time or a different time later at Pentecost, then the Great Commission was given to believers, which then opens the door that any believer can go out and start whatever organization you want to. Thus, we open the door for mission boards. Thus, we open the board for any other parachurch organization, whatever camp you want to, and start it all because the commission was given to individuals. But when you understand that the church was already in existence and Christ gave the Great Commission to the church, and we also then put that scripture with scripture, that unto him be glory in the church, and that men strive for masteries, but unless you strive lawfully, then you'll not obtain, then we understand that God gets the glory through his church. He gave the Great Commission to the church, not some parachurch organization. So that's why we kind of do what we do, and we'll talk about it at a later time, but it matters where you believe the church began, because then everything else changes. The Great Commission was not just given to believers, it was given to his church. Because Zaddell Baptist Temple has the commission from God with his authority to go and preach the gospel, to see people get baptized. You understand this. You know, there's a big debate out there. It's not a debate to me, but there's a big debate on who started the first Baptist church in America. And a lot of people, you know, every time I can't help. I never get in debates on social media, all right, because I don't cast pearls before swine, and who cares, all right? Except my one exception is when they say Roger Williams started the first Baptist church in America. That's the one thing I cannot remain silent, all right? God will have to forgive me for that one, all right? But the ignorance that's out there. And so I always, you know, I just, about 2 weeks ago, you know, someone posted that, and I said, actually, no, all right? And what's sad was, I was brought attention to it because three people tagged me. In other words, they didn't have the guts to say anything, but they knew who would, right? And so they tagged me. And I said, well, actually, and I tried to explain it to him, you know, that Roger Williams did not and could not have started the First Baptist Church. You say, well, why could he not? Did he not get baptized and did he not start a church? Well, he did. But the problem is this. He was with a buddy, and he looked at his buddy and said, you know what? I've not been baptized. You've been baptized? I've not been baptized. How about you, Roger? Well, I've not. How about you? No. How about I baptize you and then you baptize me? Sounds good. And they dunked each other. That's not scriptural baptism. Because the commission was not given to the individuals, the commission was given to who? The church. Which, by the way, that's why Roger Williams, just a few months later, said, I'm not into this Baptist thing, I'm not a Baptist, all right? And he walked away from it. Check it out, all right? So, number one, he had no authority. Number two, you couldn't have started a Baptist church without a proper baptism. So, it negates that. So, the First Baptist Church was started by John Clark. And if you don't know anything about him, that's because you've only been here a day. All right? That'd be the only reason why you wouldn't know anything about him. All right? But the fact is this. All right? You know, it matters. When you believe what scriptural authority is, scriptural authority was not given to a person. It was given to the church. The church has been given the Great Commission. That's why when we are endeavors, you are a member, a part of this church, and we work to fulfill the Great Commission. Everything we do. You see, it was evangelizing. It was given the Great Commission in John chapter number 4. Turn over there real quick. This church was baptizing believers. In John chapter number 4, they were evangelizing, they were baptizing. In John chapter number 4, and in verse number 1, says this, John 4, verse 1, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee." But you notice here that it was noised about that Jesus and his disciples, they were preaching and people were getting baptized, and his disciples were baptizing people. Now, why were they baptizing people? They had that authority that they were working within the bounds of a church. Also in Acts chapter 1, you have to turn there because Brother Coy already read it for us. But when they gathered the people there, we have a membership role giving in Acts chapter number 1 of that first church before Pentecost, by the way. Also, this church, the Lord's church, was involved in church activities, if you want to call it that. They, in Matthew chapter number 26, they observed the Lord's Supper in Matthew chapter number 26, which, again, if you believe that, you know, the church didn't start till later, then you also can take the logic then in Matthew chapter number 26 that anybody can take the Lord's Supper, but you understand that there were many other people that believed in Christ. There were many other people saved. Even at one point, some of the disciples walked up to Jesus and said, "Hey, so-and-so is doing something in your name, but they're not walking with us." And the Lord said, "If they're not against us, they're for us." And they were going on. John baptized, there were many. When John the Baptist died, his disciples, do you believe they were saved? Absolutely. Do you believe they were scripturally baptized? Absolutely. But his disciples, John's disciples, who were not walking with Jesus and his, came to Jesus after the death of John the Baptist. Here were other people saved, but when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he did it only with his church. Many people were saved. Matter of fact, there was one person sitting in a room that wasn't, and he was excused before they observed the Lord's Supper. You see, when you understand church polity, it changes everything else. Or when the church began, it changes everything else about your church polity. They observed the Lord's Supper. They, in Matthew chapter number 26, you don't have to turn in, verse number 30, they left that upper room, they went out and they sang. They sang. They sang together. Hebrews chapter number 2, it says they went out in the hill and they sang a hymn. Hebrews chapter number 2 tells us in verse number 12 that Jesus sang with his church. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse. But they sang together. Listen, when we as a church lift our voices to sing, we ought to sing praises to God. It's a joy to sing together. In Luke chapter number 11, you don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter number 11, Jesus and his disciples met for prayer. In Acts chapter number 1, before Pentecost, the church gathered together and they prayed. You see, they were organized. They had a head, they had a pastor, they had discipline, they had business meeting, they had a treasurer. They were evangelizing, they had the Great Commission, they had baptizing believers, they had a membership role. They were involved in church activities, they observed the Lord's Supper, they were singing, they met for prayer. And in number 6, in Acts chapter number 2, and I know I've said this over and over again, but we'll just say it one more time. In Acts chapter number 2, look at this verse real quick, Acts 2, and in verse number 41, right, we're right here in the middle at that day of Pentecost, and great and wonderful things happen at Pentecost, and praise the Lord for that day. And in Acts chapter number 2, thousands of people were saved. We read down in verse number 41, and it simply says this in Acts 2:41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were," next word, "added unto them." You cannot add to something that's not there. If you're going to add to something, there's something already there. Y'all catch that? You're staring. I know you say you said it before. Go on, right? But you have to grasp that, all right? There was already a church there. They were added. They didn't start a church that day. They added to the church that day. So things did not begin. The church did not begin at Pentecost. It was added to at Pentecost. And praise the Lord for a wonderful day there that day. One of my favorite songs is Pentecostal Power. Didn't understand it for about 20 years, but when I got it, I nailed it. I loved it, all right? But I always wonder why we sang that in a Baptist church, all right? You know, but in any case, all right, because there's a wonderful day. God did some wonderful things. You may speak of it later tonight. But the fact is this, they were added unto them on that night. Added unto them. Number seven, because the Lord's church there was called a flock. Look over real quick, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and in verse number 31. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 31. Matthew 26 and verse number 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. He's referring to himself. He's the shepherd. He would be smitten. And he referred to them as his flock. They were a flock. In Luke chapter number 12, Luke chapter 12, if you can turn there real quick, in Luke chapter number 12 and in verse number 32, Luke 12 and verse number 32, he says in verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Luke chapter number 12 and in verse number 32, fear not, Jesus said, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He referred to him through them as his flock. You say, well, what's that have to do with the church? Well, I'll turn over to Acts chapter number 20 real quick. Acts chapter number 20. And I know in these types of sermons we go to a lot of different scriptures, but I encourage you to hang with me because I want you to understand it's easy when teaching church polity. It's easy for things to be looked at as, well, that's just his opinion, or that's just his, you know, like John Clark's my pet peeve, right? That's just his hobby horse. All right, but I don't want anyone to ever think this is just Travis Burke's opinion. I know we use a lot of scriptures because I want you to see this is not my opinion. I believe this is God's opinion, all right? And in Acts chapter number 20, and in verse number 28, it says this, take heed therefore, they're meeting with the pastors here of Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the what? Flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Again, the church at Ephesus was referred to as these under-shepherds as their flock. They're referred to as a flock. Now, why did the Lord in 1 Peter, again, Peter refers to the church as a being a flock and to feed the church in 1 Peter chapter 5. But the fact is this, it's consistently used. Why would the Lord use it with his disciples? Because they were just that. They were a church. When Jesus said that he would build his church, he did not start at Pentecost. Matter of fact, if you lean that way and say, well, I believe the church did start at Pentecost, probably because you grew up in a church that, you know, just took what Schofield wrote in his notes and decided to run with it, right? But the fact is this, all right? Jesus, if we account the day of Pentecost for the start of the church, then the Holy Spirit built the church. Not Jesus. If it started at Pentecost, it was the Holy Spirit's doing. But it didn't start at Pentecost. It started before Pentecost, and it was the Lord. And the Lord then started in John chapter number 1 and verse number 37. Did we read that verse? Go there real quick. John chapter 1, verse number 37. This is that verse I was referring to with Andrew. After Andrew got saved, he was discipled by John the Baptist, and then Jesus came to him in John chapter 1. Verse 37, you can find this. This is what happened with all the disciples. You find most of that in our Gospels. In John chapter 1 and verse number 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. The Lord Jesus took these disciples of John who were saved and baptized under John the Baptist's ministry. He assembled them together. They were a local, visible assembly. They were organized. They were baptized believers. They were doing the work of God. That is the definition of a church. If the church did not begin with this local visible assembly of baptized believers organized doing the work of God, Well, then when did it start? John the Baptist, you say, we're making a big deal. A lot of people, a lot of times they don't know where to put John the Baptist. I'll tell you where to put him, all right? You put him as the greatest man born of women the world's ever seen. You say, that's a pretty bold statement. Well, turn real quick to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. We do make a big deal out of John the Baptist because Jesus made a really big deal out of John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter number 11 and in verse number 7, read that with me. Matthew 11 and verse number 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? And what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. So if any of you are doubting whether this person prophesied in the prophets was John the Baptist, Jesus just settled that for us. Verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Of those born among women, Jesus said, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. Now, why would he say that? Because John was commissioned by heaven for a purpose, to prepare the way of the Lord, for the Lord to begin his church. And if we try to hold to a Pentecost day start of the church, which again, that's predominant. In most Bible colleges you go to, that's what's going to be taught, unfortunately. Now, some of that's changing. There's some leaning back, and I'm thankful for it, the other way. I was taught in college that it started at Pentecost, right? But they changed that, and I'm thankful now. The fact is that's predominantly what's being taught out there. But again, Jesus said, I will build my church. And when we believe in a day of Pentecost, and again, we put that focus on the Holy Spirit building the church, not God, but when it was Jesus that did that. It also, if you believe in a day of Pentecost started the church, then it defrauds the ministry of John the Baptist. And he had a very important ministry. But if you don't think the church started until Pentecost, then really, John the Baptist's ministry is not that big a deal. It also delegates the church to man's institution, because it really started with a bunch of men and the Holy Spirit coming down. But it wasn't that. And I know the Lord Jesus put first apostles, but understand that before those apostles were placed there, there was a foundation, a cornerstone. And the chief cornerstone of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. He took his apostles, the Lord Jesus being the cornerstone, then the apostles and prophets and teachers, and the Lord has built his church. See, how did the Lord start his church then? Well, he started, number one, now think about this with me, there was authority. So where did the authority come from? There was a man sent from God, from heaven, whose name was John. There was authority. That church preached the gospel. That church had a scriptural baptism. That church had discipling going on. And that church had order. Which, by the way, is the exact same pattern by which the Lord Jesus is starting churches in 2019 as well. In order for a church to begin, there must be authority, the preaching of the gospel, scriptural baptism, discipling, and then put in order. That's how over at Anchor Baptist and over there towards Hillsboro, that's how that church started. Say, what happened? Well, there was authority. What was the authority? Kazada Baptist Temple. Kazada Baptist Temple gave authority. The gospel was preached. People were saved. People have been scripturally baptized. People have been discipled. And then we went over there. It was a wonderful day on a Sunday afternoon. And they had a pastor, all things a constitution, and all things were set in order, as we read there in the epistles. And a church was begun. The same thing happened over in Hungary. The same thing happened down in Bullhead City, Arizona. And the process is going on right now in Gunnison, Colorado. The process is going on down in Magdalena, Del Quino, Mexico. See what's going on? The same thing that the Lord Jesus did. There must be authority, the preaching, the baptism, the discipling, and then things put in order. That's how a church is started. All built around one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. That's how a church begins, and that's how the very church, very first church, began. See, does all these things matter? It does so much. Because when we get off on this, it then muddies up everything else. And the reason why all these parachurch organizations, there's guys starting camps, there's running it by themselves under no church authority, I thank God. Can people be saved? Absolutely. Can great things happen? Absolutely. But Paul said it to Timothy, that someday you're striving for masteries, but you'll not receive those masteries unless it's done lawfully. Not that you can't do great things, but God's to get glory in His church. And thus we seek that every ministry, that all of our outreach, that all of our service is done through the Lord's church, because the Great Commission was given to the church. These things matter.